This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I venture to the new half-acre brewery in Bowmanville to chat with Gabriel.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, Brad. I'm Nick White.
And we are on site today, changing up our location. Where are we at?
Man, we got a doozy this week, man. We are at the mighty Half Acre Beer Company with president and owner, Gabriel Magliaro. Did I get that?
You nailed it.
Nice. Man, did you practice that like all night?
I thought about it on the way up Lakeshore Drive. I'm like, I don't want to miss this.
So this is a little different episode. We kind of are focused on Half Acre here, rather like throwing events and what you need to be drinking this weekend out the window, because you should be drinking Half Acre beer.
Yeah, man. I'm pretty excited to be here, man. I mean, we've talked to some guys in the past, you know, Jonathan Cutler from Peace, you know, John Hall, you know, Jared Rubin. This is right up there with that. I'm pretty excited about being here, man. We all know who these guys are, so we're going to chat with them, right?
Yeah, thanks for having us here. This is great.
Yeah, pleasure to have you guys here.
So we're at the new production brewery, soon-to-be restaurant as well.
Yeah, this is the second edition for our company.
You want to give us a little backstory on like how that came to be and why, I guess, this location? And
sure.
You guys looking for a long time?
Yeah, so, you know, we got going some years back and... you know, have our first brewery on Lincoln Avenue and still have that, but we, you know, had the opportunity to get going there, start making beers, and fortunately, people responded well to them, and we were able to sort of organically grow. Our beer was just pulled out of our brewery for a long time, and we kind of got slammed up into a ceiling of what we could accomplish at that facility. It's, you know, it's not a big place, relatively speaking. It's about 13,000 square feet, which houses our brewery. We have some small offices there. We have a store, and we have our taproom restaurant. So we just couldn't make any more liquid there. It was done. And that's certainly a creative inhibitor, right? And that's the last thing that we wanted for our brewery, is to not be able to push ourselves creatively and have more fun, be able to create more opportunity for our staff and for ourselves, of course. So we needed to build, we needed to do something. And we looked at a range of options with, you know, what the hell we want to be. And long story short, we opted to find a larger scale facility as close to our other brewery as we could.
Okay.
And that brought us here, which there aren't a lot of properties like this, you know, roughly a 2-acre site here.
half acre, no more, man.
There you go. So yeah, we have whatever, about 60,000 square feet inside and another, you know, 30 some thousand outside, east of Western, not a lot of that. So, okay. So it was a big score, and we purchased the property in early 2014 and we're able to build a brewery here and then realize what is ultimately, just a bright future for our business, and one that is only dictated by our own desire or ambition or ability to be creative, because the site is large enough that, you know, at least for our own ambition, we're not worried about how much beer we can make here.
Right.
But we have every option available to us. So, yeah, and as you said, we're going to build a restaurant here over the next, whatever, 6 months or so, and... yeah, have people come here, hang out, drink beer, eat food.
You talked about the like lack of creative freedom at the other brewery, but it also allowed you to kind of almost focus, right? Like you learn like what styles and cans and what beers are people wanting and gravitating to, because we saw beers go away. We saw kind of you refocus and what I guess the market wanted. Is that kind of, or
yeah, or what we wanted, or yeah, what the market wanted? You know, maybe a little bit of everything. I think we dialed in everything over there. Yeah. Really,
you know? Which might not have happened if you had the space just to be like, ah, just yeah, keep.
We're just going to keep cruising here. No, it was. I don't think ill of that period of time at all. It was actually like maybe a high point in our thus far company history. It was like 12, 13, we weren't really growing because we couldn't, and we were all working arm in arm together, and we had it down to a science, and we understood it really well, and a lot of things became clear at that point in time, both from a process perspective, but just like, who the hell is Half Acre Beer Company, and why do we do this, and what parts do we really enjoy, and what other parts do we not so much enjoy?
No, we're not in Lincoln Square. We're in the next neighborhood over. We're in Bowmanville.
This is Bowmanville.
Bowmanville.
Yeah. Right.
How big do you want to take this thing? I mean, you know, every brewery's got their own aspirations for their own reasons. You know, Goose Island's in 50 states, for example. Mm-hmm. Is it is world domination on the, in the future for Half Acre? Like,
no, what are your... definitely not. I think big is a weird thing in beer, or it's a weird thing in our own minds. I think we just don't want to be mechanical about growth, and we don't want to, scale isn't an interest of ours. I think to do cool shit is definitely an interest of ours. And, okay, this is a great place and a home to do that. The shape that it takes over time, you know, there's a lot of questions for us, really. I think we have a firm idea of, I should say we do have a firm idea of what the next couple of years hold for us. But I think long term, a goal of ours is to figure out kind of not how not to grow, but how to evolve rather than grow from a volume perspective. And I think those are two very separate things.
I hear that. So, speaking of evolving, a lot of people don't know the story. So how did you get into beer? Let's cover some of the basics, you know.
How'd sure, you get into backtrack a little bit?
Just a little bit, right?
Yeah,
we don't want
yeah.
You know, some, when you were 5 years old, we don't want to go that deep, but yeah, I mean, but some people are curious.
I don't remember what it was.
Like, how did Gabriel get his start in beer?
Yeah, I used to live in Colorado and in the 90s, and it was a very young but vibrant brewing scene there. And that was my exposure to small scale brewing, not professionally. You know, I was blowing glass out there and hanging out. But what I was doing was connecting with those guys. And I found myself spending some time in environments like that. And immediately it was like, this looks pretty badass. What's going on with these guys? And sort of really connecting your professional life with your personal life in about as good a way as I could imagine. Mm-hmm. Fast forward a little bit, moving to Chicago, I was going to school here, and it just, there's no beer here. You had Goose in the city, Floyd's in Indiana, Two Brothers in the Burbs. You had Peace in the city.
So we're talking like late 90s.
This was like 2001.
2001, okay.
Yeah. You had a couple, you know, a few pubs in the city. I think maybe just Peace and Rock Bottom at that time.
Yeah, I think shortly before you guys came on, Metro showed up.
Well, this is long before that.
Yeah.
And so it was like, where's all the beer? You know, where I don't know where did it all go? And later on, as you know, becoming a beer professional, I learned why it wasn't here. But being young and naive and full of spunk, I was like, why don't we try to get something going? Didn't have a lot of money to, you know, build a brewery, and so we started by brewing out of Sand Creek Brewing Company in Black River Falls, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So that was in 2006-07, and then we pretty quickly felt like, all right, this might not be a catastrophe if we built a brewery, and it was pre-08, meaning the financial demise of our country, and we wrangled a loan, and we got to build our brewery on Lincoln Avenue. And that was basically right in line with when Metro was building there.
Yeah, I remember having those contract beers and just being like, Where is this? How did I get more like Chicago beer? Like, this is great. I want more. Yeah. What's happening?
What's going on? Where are these guys? Yeah, it was a strange time, you know, and there weren't any like examples at that point. You know, it was the Wild West of Chicago beer at that point.
Right.
And so I was just kind of like feeling it out and, you know, working with the head brewer up there, Todd Kruger, and we managed to squirrel away some beer and get it back here and get it into people's hands. And, you know, I had no professional experience in beer at that point in time.
Okay.
Oh, right.
So that, you know, technically speaking, should not have had a beer company.
Do you remember the first beer you brewed up there? Or, you know, first
Half Acre Lager.
Half Acre Lager?
Mm-hmm. Right on. Which was weird and, you know, it was fine. It was probably being rushed through the system and whatever. It was what it was. And we brew it on occasion still, more like a Vienna style lager, and it's great beer these days.
with the contract brewery that opened up in West Loop, I think it's called like Great Central. You know, a lot of people, there are two thoughts about, you know, contract brewing. You know,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on it? I mean, and what were the logistics behind it? Like, do you look fondly back on those days, or were you like, man, I'm really excited that we got online ourselves? Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, I was definitely excited when we had our own brewery. I do think fondly on those days. I mean, it was our only way. Building breweries is super expensive. Having the appropriate knowledge base to do it is, you know, you have to you should have that. And I didn't necessarily have that. So, it was just the path and cutting my teeth. So I respect all the bumps and bruises and fortunate things that have come our way. Contract brewing as a whole, those were different times. I'd be scared to go about it that way today, myself, because everything has ramped up so incredibly around beer now that you know, we were unknown and no one cared in 2006. No one cared. It was
Chicago beer.
Yeah, No, I don't mean no one cared that we were contract brewing. I mean no one cared that we existed at all.
Beer, like Chicago company made beer. Like,
it's like people didn't care about beer in the way that they care about it today. Now, you know, an outfit opens up in any form, having a brewery, not having a brewery. I mean, there's some laser focus on what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are either analyzing you or supporting you, like, well informed, right? Fully understand the landscape of beer, and you know, opinions are strong, and you have to be real careful. I think there's some cool contract type arrangements out there, and I think there are some that are hollow. So I think it really depends on the merit of what you're doing.
That's a good phrase, hollow.
Hollow.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. The Revolution guys recently did an interview, right? And they were saying how you know, in 2014, 2015 they ran out of beer, right? And you guys had something similar, and you correct me if I'm wrong, where you had to like pull back from the suburbs, right? And then they were is that
well, we never really sold beer in the burbs.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we did a distribution change out there, which was not about pulling any beer back, but we changed how we sell beer out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we were making whatever 15,000 barrels of beer at our Lincoln Brewery and not really selling almost any beer in the suburbs of Chicago.
Yeah.
Which speaks,
it's intense, man.
It's intense. Yeah. So that speaks to the both the size and the thirst of our community. So.
And does the I guess my second part of my question was, does the market play a role in some of the brands that you decided to go away from? Like, when we were thinking about questions to ask you, the first thing we said was, what the fuck happened to Gossamer? You know, and it's like, does the market play a role in that?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, we are obviously the largest driver in what we want to have out there and what we don't want to have out there. Gossamer was a beer that, yeah, we all felt great about, but you know, it was relative to everything we were doing. It was just like, people drank it. It certainly had like its following of people, which maybe you guys were some of those dudes, right?
We were part of that gossip.
It's hard to like, you know, and Gossamer came to be at a time when we were trying to think about what would be a good player in our overall our lineup of beer. Mm-hmm. And we put it out there, and it was, you know, it had a function for our brewery. But while that was happening, we were also evolving so rapidly with a whole other line of beers that, frankly, just had more excitement around it, both internally and externally. It's hard to like, it was out there, we were doing it, yeah. And it's like, but is that a reason to keep doing it? Just when there's all these other beers that people are pumped about and we're pumped about. And I think we got more. And at that time also, when we were running out of steam in terms of the volume of beer we could produce, mm-hmm. a beer like Gossamer, if we pulled back on it, we just got a chunk of volume back that we could then screw around and do a bunch of different beer.
Okay.
So we gained some creative might by making some changes. And that was part of the thing for us. When we're capped, we just can't make any more beer.
Right.
Sometimes you gotta take down one of your kids.
As far as like volume and excitement is, yeah, I know Half Acre, or I mean Daisy Cutter was like the beer that kind of put you guys on the map. I
sure,
guess is
yeah,
that
yeah.
still true? Is it still probably?
I mean, it's still the beer that knocks down the most doors for us. I would mm-hmm. say, not that we expand into markets really, because we don't, but. You know, it has a great awareness out there.
Yeah.
And when we're, you know, when we talk about new markets, it's like Kankakee, you know, that's uh-huh. like, I mean, we're not talking about Arizona here, you know, we're talking about
the
you
next know, summer, yeah.
Bloomington Normal.
Yeah. You know, we were like, Daisy Cutter, oh, I heard of that. You know, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
You know, recognition of like, oh yeah, I've heard of that. I heard this really good. I'd like to try that. I mean, that's you can't overlook that. Mm-hmm. It's still a beer that internally we feel very, very good about. You know,
yeah.
I drink it all the time, and I'm very, very proud of what that beer did for us then, is currently doing, and sort of what represents for Half Acre.
It's on the it's certainly on the short list of quintessential Chicago beers at this point, right? Like
right,
we're all, you know, for year round, canned beer or just a beer in production and packaging period. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Oh, how far was Daisy Cutter from that initial lager that you produced? Like what kind of time frame are we
talking
between
those two? Well, when we were brewing beer at Lincoln, when we just started to make beer there, it was like, I don't know, maybe the third or fourth beer we did.
Right.
So it was, we had brewed that beer within, I'll say 2 months of making beer at our brewery. So it was only available in draft for a while because we didn't have anything to package with other than, I'm sorry, it was draft first, then it was in bombers.
Right, yeah.
And then we started putting it in cans once we swung a canning line, which wasn't until 2010, early 2010. And that's when, you know, I think the whole thing clicked in a bigger way because we could have it in people's hands. Bombers did it too, but mm-hmm. you know, it's a little different.
Yeah, I guess you can't talk about beers changing and stuff without the Gone Away that you guys are drinking that has the name controversy.
All of our other names.
Yeah,
that's true. There had to be a learning curve there. So in 2015, right, you the at Great American Beer Fest, the country's biggest, oldest beer fest, you take a silver medal, right, in the IPA category, right, and then
most crowded one of all time, too.
That's crazy. So you take a silver medal, and then, you know, like, I don't know, a month later, you announce that, yeah, we're changing the name.
Yeah. Not ideal. But you know what? Like, also, not a big deal for us. You know, it was just part of the natural process we went through, and we changed it for a great reason.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, and the second time, we changed it again for like a reason that I don't feel as good about, but we changed it and shit, we change it again too if we don't need to. Like,
it's not necessarily the name, it's the beer, right?
Yeah, we don't get too, you know, we try not to get too roped into that stuff. And I, more importantly, we try not to like find ourselves in just overly negative scenarios. So the first time it was very much one thing. And the second time, you know, it's another brewery that got miffed about, a likeness of that name and a name that they were using. And that was unfortunate because that was all like choice driven. Like, you know, they didn't really have to do that. So that was a bit of a bummer. But again, like, sure, he wants to change the name. Like, I'm not going to spend any time dicking around with you guys. Change done.
Yeah.
I don't
care. Okay.
So, so that's how we landed here.
Art and creativity seem to be at the core of what you guys do more than other breweries. You know.
Yeah, it's it is at just as you said, it is at the core of what we do, and because it's as you know much of a driver for enjoyment for us as it is, you know, the beer itself and all the things that we can connect to beer.
What's your relationship like with Phineas? Like, I'm a big hip hop fan, right? And then like Rakim would always say, "Hey, I don't write anything until Eric B gives me the track, right? I think awesome. until he gives me the beat, right?"
Great analogy.
What's your? Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. brew the beer until there's an artwork.
Have you met Phineas before? Do you know Phineas?
Yeah, once or twice.
Yeah. So yeah, we have a really interesting relationship. He and I work together on all this, all these years.
Yeah.
It's just been the two of us. There's really, I'm his only coworker, really. Even though we have a company of 80 people, he sits on the other side of the glass, right there. I sit right there. He sits right there. Which on the radio doesn't work, but
right.
It's close, and all that separates us is a pane of glass.
Yeah.
I've described it before using a music reference as Elton John and the dude that his partner that writes all the music.
God. Bernie Taupin.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So I come to him with, you know, an idea for a song and, you know, some lyrics. I'll conceptually try to share with him what my thoughts are. And then he'll take it to paper and then it, you know, evolves into what it is you guys see. So... it's awesome and challenging. Yeah.
I kind of want to know about the origin of Big Hugs, because I think...
that was the first.
That was the first...
that I ever did with Phineas.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's one of the only winter events that we all kind of get in line to stand outside for.
Awesome. I hope to see you this year. We were talking about it today, actually yesterday and today, a lot about that event this year and maybe some changes that we're going to make, but... that was the first label that I ever worked on with Phineas. And the goal was to make it as flouncing and totally feminine as possible originally. Yeah. At a time when, and still today, but then there weren't like a ton of like really power stouts. But I think we brewed that first in either 09 or 10. I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
But you had like Dark Lord and Night Stalker and all these stouts that were like overly, you know, dark and seemingly looming and
evil,
powerful and evil. We're like, what can be the queerest, just sort of weirdest, you know, most flamboyant stout we could come up with? And it's changed over the years, you know, it doesn't necessarily reflect that, but we thought initially a kitten that was named Big Hugs would probably be about as flamboyant as you're going to get.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how that came to be.
Yeah.
And over the years, he's always like, you know, somehow unknowingly destroying something.
Yeah, I love the dichotomy of this big kitten.
Yeah.
That's also...
he just is lovable and doesn't like, know that he's so big.
Yeah.
That's
kind of, yeah.
He has no idea that he's like, you know, crushing, crushing things and like tearing cities apart. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It's definitely, it sticks out as a strange one on the lineup. And every year when we're talking about it, it's like, man, this is totally ridiculous. But
I think that's the first beer that Dark Matter kind of got involved doing.
Correct.
And they have a big
and now,
voice in it, right?
They do, yeah. That was the sort of first beer they worked on, and they're pretty prolific at this point. So
yeah, you guys were early adopters with Dark Matter, incorporating them, and early adopters with the 16-ounce cans as well. I remember when Finch came online, the first thing everyone said was, "Oh, well, who do they think they are? Right? Do they think they're the Half Acre Crew? Like, yeah." And now you see cans all over the place.
Yeah, so. it's ubiquitous now.
Yeah.
Nice. What else is on your list here?
I don't know, man. I'm just excited, man. I'm all over the place here, man. What else do we want to talk about, man? Yeah, we covered a lot.
You mentioned the party over here. I know Nick was talking about
the Big North
parties that you guys have had. The beach party and just like the brewery party. People will I don't know. This is the most drunken pictures you see from brewers and people just come out of your guys' parties.
Your parties are the stuff of lore. People talk forever. The beer download guys will tell you to this day, there's no better party than Half Acre 3. Right? And this was all before my time. It's like, there's no better party. Right? And we'll be dead serious about it, man.
I'm really happy to hear that. I think there's a lot of different ways you can spin brewery events, I think. Yeah. And for us, it's always just been more of a celebratory time to hang out with people rather than like something with sessions. And, we have never made a dime on a brewery event in our career. And we have lost money on every single event that I should say.
Okay.
And it's just about, it's a celebratory thing. We're really lucky to do what we do and to experience all the, people running out of their homes or walking out of their homes and purchasing our beer. Yeah. That's a magical thing. And so we feel like throwing a parties to celebrate that. Everybody that works with us works super hard. We've got a killer staff of people and that happens to really personally enjoy each other. So these are just, small culmination events that we can get together and blow off steam and hang out and share what we do with each other and whoever happens to come to those events, which is part just people that we don't know and then a good chunk of people that we do. So fun. They're just fun.
Yeah, that's what Phil McFarland said when we were setting this all up, because we were at Dove's Luncheonette for the where all of Phineas' artwork was on display. It was like Beer Hates Astronaut launch party.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, it's not really about Dove's Luncheonette being our biggest account. It's more about the groove, right? And I think you speak to that when you talk about
that's it. That's it. We're all groove, man. It's
more about the groove than anything else, man. Right on, man.
So what's next for this location? You gave us a little tour. It is giant.
I was blown away by how big this place was, man.
Well, it's all relative, right? There's a lot of other facilities that would dwarf this one. And, we're going to do the restaurant here. That's our next big construction project, which is not that it's huge, but that'll be the next thing that we kick into gear and component that really makes this place, I don't want to say official because it's very official now, but can welcome people into it.
Sure.
And that's always been such a huge thing for us on Lincoln. When we first opened up, we opened up our store, which is just whatever 400 square feet of the ability to buy beer, but it was a big part of who we were. And still today, people can come in and buy beer from us, people who are making it. And that was instrumental in our success. So I think here, we want to invite people in here, have them buy beer from us, and be able to do tours here and show people just what I did with you guys. Like, hey, this is part of who we are now. Because now you go on a tour of Half Acre and it's the Lincoln Brewery, but it's actually much smaller than it used to be.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. So it's a skewed perspective and not completely accurate.
So with the restaurant, will you be able to buy beer to go, like growlers and things, or not?
Yeah, but just over the bar. Yeah, we're not going to have a store here, per se, like we have at Lincoln. We want that store to remain our store.
Okay.
Love that store.
Yeah. If you guys haven't been up here, you got to check it out when they open, because there's like tons of parking. It's really cool. And then I noticed the trellises in the brew house. You see a lot of buildings like that breweries are now occupying. The first thing that comes to mind is like a Moody Tongue or Off Color or Bader Brow. They all have these old buildings that were like factories used to be that now breweries are occupying.
Yeah,
which is really cool to see, man. This new wave of big production breweries right here in Chicago. Yeah. The name Half Acre. Can you talk about that a little
sure.
bit?
Sure. Yeah.
Where does Half Acre come from?
It comes from Devil's Half Acre, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So I'm from a small town, actually in New Jersey, along the Delaware River, which separates Jersey and PA. On the PA side, just north of where I'm from, is Devil's Half Acre, which is literally a half acre of land with a bar on it. For me, it's just a place that I think of as home and a place that I appreciate, more than probably anywhere else in the world. And so that's it for me. But I think for anyone, it's sort of like whatever their own personal half acre is in their mind that a place of potential tranquility, or place you don't have to worry about stuff. Release.
Sure. Well, cool. You got the Big Hugs is later this year. Any other
in December? Yep.
Big events coming up? Or
we'll have some big beer releases coming up, but I don't know exactly when. So, sure. But in between now and then.
Yeah.
So that's a fairly narrow window.
Yeah, that's really only like 2 months.
Yeah, there you go.
Time, so it's not that far.
Yeah, we'll blast that off on the internet, and okay. Hope to see you.
Yeah. Keep eye on blog is probably the best place. Twitter and blog.
Instagram seems to be our main go-to. I mean, we use Twitter, so if it's a release, we'll do it on both. But Instagram is definitely where we gravitate towards at this point in time as a company. So,
well, awesome.
Get on the IG.
Thanks for joining us this week on this episode. This was great.
That was exciting, man. Yeah, we were expecting to get an intern, maybe get like Raj, but we got the guy.
Raj would have been cooler, yeah.
We got Raj, Gabriel to come sit down with us.
Raj would have been better. Next time we'll give you Raj.
So, no, I appreciate it, man. I know you're a busy guy. And yeah, we all appreciate what you guys do. We love the vibe. And we're glad we got a chance to do this, man.
So, thanks a ton. Thanks for coming out.
Right on.
So, Nick, where can people find you though when we're not recording here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website Chicago Beer Pass. All the episodes get posted there. You can subscribe, review, rate, listen. Go over there. Check them out. We'll be back in the studio next week.
For sure.
Okay.
Cheers.